You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome to segment number two of our continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh. I'm Tony Bruschi. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage. Let's head to the courtroom for our second segment.
Okay, can I have this on the screen, please? Can you do this for me? Would you start? Show me the first two slides up top along with the what's written there. Okay, so the caption on this is show the sequence of events that occur at the muzzle on the firing of a shotgun. Note the large gas cloud that is partially responsible for the severe nature of the wounds in the contact range. So the first A is the shotgun being fired, correct?
That's what it looks like, yes. Okay. I didn't read the captions.
What now?
There's captions at the bottom.
Are there captions at the bottom? So. Okay. No, I don't think there are, but I'll show you the book.
Okay. Okay. So I imagine that's sequence.
Okay. I didn't write the book.
No, that's fine. Okay.
So the sequence of a shotgun shell being fired, the first one is it being fired. The second one, note the large gas cloud that is partially responsible for the severe nature of the wounds on contact. And the third one is at contact range. And then you see on the last one.
I don't see them on my screen.
I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. Go down to the last two. There you go, C and D. You see at the front end would be the pellets and the gas would be preceding the pellets. Is that correct?
No, I don't think that that's correct. This is depicting contact range. It specifically says at contact range.
Right.
So pellets are not yet released from the wadding.
Okay, well, we're going to go a little bit further on that in a minute. Let me, referring again to, well, let me ask you this question. If this book says contact shotgun wounds of the head are among the most mutilating firearm wounds there are, you would agree with that?
Yes.
Extensive destruction of bone and soft tissue structures with bursting ruptures of the head are the rule rather than the exception. Correct?
Yes.
These are the wounds of which an individual said to have had his head, blown his head off, right?
Yes.
In some cases, this is almost literally true. The skull may be largely fragmented and the brain pulpified. Large fragments of the cranial vault and cerebral hemispheres are often ejected from the head. The scalp is extensively lacerated due to two factors, the charge of the shot entering the skull and the gas from combination of the propellant.
That's a formal question, Your Honor.
What is the question?
Does this, and one pathologist told me, this is the Bible of gun wounds for pathologists. Is that correct?
Well, there's a lot of literature, and this is a highly respected primary source. It's not the only. But what are you asking me about?
Does the shot, well, are there two factors which contribute this the things we just talked about, the shattering, perhaps even the ejection of the brain? Are there two factors, the charge of the shot entering the skull and the gas from combustion of the propellant?
Okay. Well, he's actually discussing contact shotgun
wounds. Yes, ma'am.
And that's not what we have here, but we have similar destruction.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But this is about a contact wound. I agree.
Okay.
You have not indicated it was a contact wound.
Correct.
We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Does the shot on a contact wound from a shotgun directly fracture the skull and shreds the brain while at the same time producing pressure waves that increase the severity of these injuries as well as ejecting the brain tissue?
Yes, it frequently happens that way.
Okay. The gas entering the closed chamber of the head expands rapidly, Does the gas entering the closed chamber of the head expand rapidly, adding to the pressure waves, acting on the bony framework of the skull? The only way for the skull to relieve the pressure produced is to shatter.
I would agree with that.
Okay. So, it's your opinion that, well, let me ask you this. If the shotgun muzzle was 3 to 4 feet away, would gas have entered the body?
Well, it's still a very destructive wound. In my experience, there is still a huge amount of energy that would enter the head from a shotgun wound, even if it's not contact.
Okay, and perhaps I misstated the question. Would gas, just a yes or no, be fine, from 4 feet away, enter the body and be destructive?
Yeah. I don't know if it's gas that's causing the destruction, but there must be some amount of energy that's causing this destruction, because a shotgun wound to the head, no matter what the distance causes, but whether it's due to gas or not, I really can't answer that question. This is not something I've done, not experiments like this, as in the book.
But this is a book you check for reference, correct?
Well, it's a good source, but, you know, I don't know whether gas would be responsible for the destruction of the skull from a few feet away. There is destruction of the skull. I don't know if it's attributed specifically to gas or to other factors. So I really can't answer that. And if he says that, that's fine. But I don't know. He's talking about a contact wound. I can't not necessarily extend that conclusion to what would happen a few feet away. But there is frequently destruction of the head.
I understand that there was massive destruction of the head. I'm just trying to get my arms around the definitive work on one of the definitive works indicates that the most instances, the vast majority, that kind of destruction is caused by gas on a contact point.
Well, this is a mechanism that he's describing based on experimental data. And I'm a forensic pathologist. I've not performed this kind of experimental data, and nor would I extrapolate from his conclusions about a contact gunshot wound to whether the same amount of gas is produced at a distance.
Well, ma'am, and Dr. Reamer, we can walk through this, but these are based not on some experiment, but actually on people that typically shot themselves in the head contact wound with a shotgun. Would that surprise you?
These are depictions of shotguns being fired. Contact shotgun wounds to the head cause massive destruction, and a lot of that is from gas buildup.
Okay, now we're on the same page, literally. So it's your position, there's a lot of energy when it's fired from 3 or 4 feet away, hits the shoulder, hits the neck, comes through, and hits the head, and the head explodes, correct?
Yes.
And have you had a number of autopsies you've done of victims whose heads have exploded as a result of a shotgun?
Yes.
Okay. And many of those were contact suicide wounds?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever had one, and we can talk about the details of that, where someone was shot from 3 or 4 feet away, no initial contact with the head? You would agree, no initial contact with the head.
Correct.
It goes through the shoulder, the neck, and then the head explodes. Have you ever had one of those?
Yes, these are very dynamic, and he still actually had a lot of his head there. Sometimes with the shotgun wound, the entire head is basically, you don't really see very much up above like the teeth.
Right.
So this was, there was obviously horrible destruction of this skull. But his face was intact, and frequently a contact causes fractures of the face. So, and I don't see any evidence of contact range discharge on the left side of the neck. So it was not my conclusion. That was not my opinion that this is a contact shotgun wound.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about this. Your position is the energy by a shotgun blast that went through the arm, through the neck, and then up to the brain still had enough energy. Is it the energy caused by, is it pellets going into the brain?
Yes, well, not just pellets, but there's also fracturing of the base of the skull, which is a bone that holds underneath the skull. And that fracturing with sufficient force can actually push the brain out.
And
so it's a variety of mechanisms that could contribute to the destruction and the loss of brain tissue.
It not only pushes, it fractures the skull. In this case, the brain was brought to you in a separate bag because it ended up laying at his feet. It went up in the air and then plopped down at his feet, correct?
Yes.
Okay. The entire brain?
Most of it, yeah, except for the brain stem.
It exploded out of his head?
Yes.
And the skull was at least almost destroyed around where you say the exit wound is, correct?
Yes.
Now, you've indicated the state did not show you any crime scene photos, correct?
I really didn't look at them. Yeah. I mean, they might have said, oh, here, this is a picture of the wall, but I didn't look at them. And they were thumbnail size. So this is a couple of weeks before trial.
Okay. Now, if you would put back up exhibit number, here we go. Exhibit number 112, please. No, I don't think. Is that 112? That's the chest. I apologize. 113. Can you focus on that area where the pellets are, please? Yeah, that right there. So, at his shoulder, how big a spread is that? As it comes in, is it 2 inches, 3 inches, 4 inches, 5 inches, that wound?
I didn't measure the spread of the pellets.
Okay. So, how about, I apologize to the jury, this is pretty graphic. How about pull up 109? Okay, so this depicts a very big wound in the shoulder, correct?
Yeah, that's a typical appearing shotgun entrance wound.
Okay, and would you come down here for just a second, please? We done? Hold on, wait 1 second. You're right. I need to offer these.
Your Honor, the statement requests that the defense give an evidence before the judge and jury.
I apologize, Your Honor. And this is exhibit number. Got multiples of these. What's this exhibit number? I'm sorry.
109.
Okay. Yeah, here it is. I apologize, Your Honor. I got ahead of myself. Won't take 2 seconds. 110, 10, 109. Here we go. This is a state defense exhibit number 109. Have you seen that before?
Yes, this is my autopsy photo.
Offered in the evidence, Your Honor.
Submitted.
Would you put it up the screen, please? Now, if we look at this photo, we see this is the entrance wound.
Yes.
And then it goes in here, correct?
That's correct.
So, but this is a much larger wound than the next one in line, is it not?
Well, that's okay.
Well, let me ask you this. In terms of understanding a shotgun pattern, as we saw in the photo, starts out basically the size of the shell, right? But if you just answer the question, and then you can explain. Does it start out as the same size as the shell?
Yes.
Okay. And as it goes forward, the pattern expands, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And it continues to expand even after it hits something, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So now please explain to me why this wound, and it looks like it's, I mean, if you use me on my left shoulder, what is the...
Yes. I'd be delighted to tell you why this entrance wound is larger than this one, even though what you said is correct about the spread. And that's because the entrance wound to the left shoulder, it's not straight on perpendicular. If it was straight on perpendicular, then we would have a smaller hole. But this is going in a tangential manner across. So we're not really looking at a perpendicular, entrance wound that's going to make a round hole. So as it's coursing along the top of the left shoulder, we get more of an oblong hole. In contrast, its continuation into the left side of the cheek is kind of straight on at a 90-degree angle. So that's why that is smaller. So there was nothing about this that was inconsistent with what I would expect from a shotgun round.
So tell me, so you're saying this shot, this second hole was made in this direction. Is that what you're saying?
I just said that that was a continuation of the logical sequences. It went through here, it's causing a lot of destruction, and then entered the left side of the neck.
So that big wound is because it's in a different direction than the small wound, is your explanation?
At a different angle,
right,
along the surface of the skin.
Okay, and there's no pellets in his face, are there?
There were some pellets that we saw in the x-ray.
But not in his face?
Not in the front of his face. Right.
So as it continues on, is there any evidence that it expands even more?
Well, it did cause, you know, there's so much destruction, we can't exactly, you know, have a single, you know, easily tracked path. Because when the skull is involved, there's so much expansion, usually either from gases or just from the blast of the projectiles, that it caused, we can't really track, it caused an exit on the right side of the back of the head with loss of the brain and lots of skull fractures, predominantly on the right side.
Okay. But you would agree with me that wound appears to be much larger than the next wound.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. And one explanation, you have an explanation for that. Could the other explanation be that this is an exit wound and that is an exit wound? Could that be a reasonable explanation? I'm going to show you something in a minute that may assist you in making that decision. But is it a possibility?
I do not believe this is consistent with an exit wound from a shotgun. There would be a lot more destruction because, you know, it had to be coming from somewhere. Right, somewhere else.
How about a contact wound on the head, on the back, right back of the head? What would you expect to see on the bone structure of the back right of the head if that was a contact wound on the head?
Well, I would not expect the brain to come out. We would have had opening of a lot of skull. We would have had a path through the brain, which is not at all what happens here.
So, if there was a contact wound, and we saw a moment ago, and you agree, that the gas would enter first, explode the skull, the brain would pop out. Did you find any pellets in the brain?
I don't remember if they were from the brain, but the brain was basically intact. A contact gunshot wound to the top of the head would cause, a huge defects of the brain.
Right, because the gas going in on a contact wound would create such a pressure, as we just read, that the skull would explode and the brain would pop out.
No, I don't think that would happen from a wound that was going toward the brain from above. I think we would have certainly destruction of the brain, but it wouldn't just pop out because it's in the path of fire. There's going to be massive destruction of the brain. It may end up on the floor, but it's going to be in multiple fragments. So in my experience doing this for a long time, I do not think that the brain would have popped out the way it did from an entrance wound on the top of the head.
Okay. Now, let me ask you to look at put, and this is under seal, and I would also, Your Honor, ask the other photos I put in be put under seal.
They're under seal.
Thank you. Would you put defense exhibit number 59, and I apologize to the jury for the graphic nature of this. Go ahead. Okay, I would like you, do you recognize this?
I've not seen this photograph.
Would you disagree with me? That's a photograph of, it's been testified, Paul Murdaugh at the scene.
Yes.
And the way he was found.
You've never seen? I don't know how he was found.
Okay, but this is a photograph you've never seen.
I've never seen this photograph.
Okay, let me get one thing before I ask you questions about it. If you would, center on his head, okay, and make it a little bit, can you make it a little bit bigger, please? So, do you see a sort of semicircle defect in the skull right here? You see where I'm looking?
Do it again.
Right here?
I do see a defect, yes.
Right, in the skull?
Yes.
Semicircle?
It does have a semicircular.
Okay. Can you determine from looking at the photograph any beveling?
As I said earlier, beveling is not really too reliable when we have so much destruction of the head. But if you're asking me if that could have been a contact shotgun wound to the top of the head with a kind of curved entrance, I would expect to see soot. We always get soot from contact wounds, and it's deposited on the outer table of the skull. So there is no burning, no soot on the outer table of the skull to
support. Did you take an autopsy photo of this area of the skull?
Well, when he came in, I do believe I took an area of the skull, but it may not have caught that.
Okay. Did you shave his head?
No, I did not.
You did shave Maggie's head for a head wound, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And why didn't you shave his head? To examine this, you would agree with me, had his head been shaved, you would have had a better look at this wound.
Well, I believe that my assessment of it was correct, and without, usually shaving is along an entrance wound, not an exit wound. So I determined this was an exit, and shaving is not done on exit wounds. I shaved Maggie's because that was an entrance wound, and it gives me an opportunity to see the margins of the entrance defect.
I guess what I'm asking is, you decided that was an exit wound without shaving the head, without looking for stippling, without looking for soot, because you would agree with me that to do that, effectively, you'd have to shave the head.
To observe marks on the skin, yes. But okay. Also there would be soot on the outer table of the skull.
Well, did you look for it? You apparently had already decided.
Yeah, well, I did look. I didn't take a picture from this angle necessarily. I did take a picture after from the top of his head. My determination, based on my experience, was that the entrance wound was over here. Doesn't mean somebody else cannot disagree with me. But that's my opinion.
Somebody could disagree with you, and that would be a reasonable disagreement.
I would say that people can disagree, but that doesn't mean that doesn't change the truth.
You would also agree with me, though, that your notes contain no mention of the lack of or presence of stippling or soot on that part of his head. You never looked for it, did you?
Well, I look for it. I look at all of the wounds, and if there was, I would have documented it. But I don't document the absence of soot or stippling on what I determine to be an exit wound.
And I don't see any note of yours where you examined that exit wound in detail. I mean, shaved his head, looked for some distortion that would be inconsistent with the conclusion you'd already come to, correct?
Well, I came to the conclusion based on my examination of the entire area.
Okay, and as this book indicates, the vast majority of this kind of damage the vast majority, I mean, they say most probably, almost certainly, is a contact wound to the head that injects the gas, which explodes the head. Is that not true?
I do think that you're kind of you're extending his statement. He's describing contact gunshot wounds to the head. Actually, a contact gunshot wound to the top of the head like that, like I told you, it would have caused fragmentation of the brain, not ejection of the brain, based on my experience. And then there would be a lot more, we would have a lot more fragments. It would never have just left the rest of the skull intact. We would have had fractures of the face. There's massive amount. I don't believe that the fractures of his skull are consistent with that being a contact shotgun event. I understand that that is a massive destruction of the head from shotgun wounds, but in this case, we do have the brain basically left intact. We don't have a path through the brain. It's a very dynamic. You know, there's gases, there's pellets, there's fractured bone. But in my opinion, based on my experience, that was not an entrance wound, and that this was not an exit.
And you indicated, I looked at your autopsy report, that first of all, do you believe this was caused by pellets entering the brain cavity?
No, I think it's a combination of different things. I don't think it's from pellets specifically.
What was it?
I think it's from the gas buildup in the brain and fractures of the skull and that just basically a lot of gas buildup.
Where did those gases come from?
Yeah, it's a huge amount of energy from a shotgun.
I'm sorry, if you'd answer my question, where did the gases you just testified that causes destruction come from?
From the shotgun wound.
A shotgun wound, you testified, was created by a weapon that was more than 3 feet, 4 feet away. The gases traveled through the air, traveled through that shoulder wound, traveled through the neck, and then exploded his head.
It's not just gases, but it's a combination of gases and the pellets as well.
But there would have been a significant amount of gas involved to explode his head.
Yes.
And there would be pellets, would they be present in the brain after that brain exploded?
The pellets may not have reached the brain. The brain may have been ejected just by virtue of the skull fragmenting and the base of the skull pushing it up. It's not possible for me to say exactly why the brain came out here.
But you would agree with me, based on the literature, it's much more common for a contact wound where the gas goes in contact to explode the head.
Well, in my experience, a contact shotgun wound could cause this type of damage, but it would frequently cause even more damage. Like, a lot of times there's just massive destruction of the entire head. At least the front of his head was, front of his face where bones were intact.
I hear what you're saying is that it would have produced massive destruction, but it would have always included massive destruction of the face.
Okay. Well, let me tell you, there are other reasons that why I concluded that the entrance wounds were here. Okay. We have a lot of basically a bunch of tight pellets over here.
Right.
If they would be more spread out if the entrance wound was here. By the time it got to here, there'd be a lot more pellets over a wider area.
How many more?
Well, I'm not saying more pellets. I'm saying there would be a wider spread of pellets. This was still in a relatively narrow range. It was along the top of the shoulder. So
from my head to my shoulder on a direct line.
Yes.
How far is that?
Well, honestly, the spread would not. I don't believe they would have been as tight along the shoulder. I think we also would have had a lot more, a larger defect. Probably
defect.
Yeah, look,
between here and here.
Every single shotgun wound and gunshot wound, they're each a little bit different. So a lot of this is judgment and assessment at the time of the autopsy. Well, and it's not theoretical whether there's gas buildup or not gas buildup. I can see this as a shotgun wound. We have pellet entrance defects around this large defect.
Pellet. You just told me you couldn't do a bevel assessment on skin. How do you know their entrance rather than exit on the skin?
Well, I'll tell you. And the reason is if pellets are going through the shoulder, we wouldn't have a big, large, oblong defect. We would have holes from the pellets, not an oblong ovoid defect. So you'll recall on his arm, Paul's arm, those pellets, they came from, and then along here, we just basically have pellet exit wounds. And we don't have that on the shoulder. We have a larger confluent wound that was not caused by individual pellets.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then. If you can take that picture down, please.
Yeah. It's not my opinion that is the entrance wound is to the top of the head.
Could you put up, no, we don't even need to do that. I don't need to see the picture. The chest shot goes through his chest, comes out under his arm, right?
Yeah, on the left side, yes.
The left side comes out under his arm. And what do we have? What do we have on the inside and outside of that arm?
We have pellet.
Coming in and out. We have a pattern of pellets.
Yes.
Just like the pattern of pellets that you're talking about on what you say, the exit wound here. Exit wound from about the same distance. Pellets from the same distance, pellets, correct?
Well, there are pellets on in the shoulder, but yes. We have a ovoid defect at the top of the left shoulder. They're not a bunch of individual pellet wounds. We have pellets embedded in the tissue, but the actual defect, we don't have a defect like that on his arm, even though it may be the same distance. And the reason is because the pellets are exiting, but each one is going through the left arm individually. Okay. Whereas if this was the entrance at the right side of the top of the back of the head, it's a good thought. You know, let's think about this. And if it was coming through the head, regardless of what happened to the brain, and then exited here and then went along here, we would have a lot more individual pellet wounds on the shoulder as opposed to a large, like huge, you know, big area of skin and subcutaneous tissue loss. Pellets don't cause that type of damage on their own.
So you and I both counted something between 30 and 40 pellets in that shoulder wound a little while ago, right?
Yeah, there were something like about that.
Do you know how many pellets are in a duck shot or bird shot 12-gauge shell?
No, I don't remember. That.
So you don't know whether that was 90% of the pellets or 60% of the pellets or 50?
No,
that,
I do not.
Would that make a difference to you? How many of the pellets that were fired ended up there?
No.
But you're saying just because the wound here is bigger and the wound in his chin is smaller doesn't mean the shotgun pellets spread out, right? They spread out and they don't contract. You would agree with me?
Agree with you because I'm not understanding your question.
Okay, let me rephrase it. If you view that wound on his shoulder as the entrance wound, and I believe you have.
Yes.
You would agree with me that it is, whether it's coming across the top or whatever, it is a bigger wound than the wound in his chin. In other words, are you saying that those were so focused that they, as they went through or across the top, they actually contracted?
No.
Okay.
I explained that this was larger because it was tangential across the top of the shoulder. So but that's the kind of wound.
You agree with me that reasonable people could have a difference of opinion about these facts?
Yes.
Okay. Pardon me. Just 2 seconds to make sure I put everything in the evidence I want in. apologize, Your Honor. I spread everything out over here. I'm going to leave the rest of this until after his examination. That's okay with the court. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court.
Your job is to do what? What do you do?
I do an autopsies in order to determine the cause and manner of death.
And when you're asked to do an autopsy, are you told any sort of conclusion to come to, or do you just look at the evidence in the body before you and come to whatever conclusions that body tells you?
Yes, and I examine the body, and I come to a conclusion based on reasonable medical certainty based on my education and experience.
So is it part of your job to look at crime scene photos and that sort of thing, or are you relying on what the body tells you?
My job is to look at the body. That's my job. Crime scene photos, crime scene evidence, it's somebody else's project. That's not incorporated into my conclusion.
I want to talk a little bit. We've gone into a long examination about the top of the head, and you talked about soot and stippling. So I want to make sure the jury understands the difference between the two. You saw stippling on the chest wound to Paul. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Explain to the jury the difference between soot and stippling and what that tells you and what it doesn't tell you.
Okay. So the stippling is like the pieces of gunpowder that deposit on the skin when something is fired within 2 to 3 feet from the barrel of the gun, not the shooter, from the barrel of the gun. Soot is like real burning powder, burning marks from very hot gunpowder that's still basically burning, and it causes like a burning wound. That's the soot, and we don't see soot except within a few inches, depending on the gun. But we would like not expect to see soot further away from 6 inches. So the fact that we have stippling but no soot, we can fairly say it's not closer than 6 inches, even though I know it's most likely within 3 feet.
All right, so you observed stippling on the wound to the chest for Paul, correct?
Yes.
Did you observe stippling anywhere else?
No.
Right. Did you observe any soot at all on Paul's body?
No.
And did you, particularly on the top of the head, did you observe any soot there?
No.
You were asked a little bit, and you had testified yesterday about the tilting of the head and the manner in which the shotgun blast went through the chest, through the shoulder, into the neck, and then out the top of the head.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable conclusion.
Right. And that still is your most likely conclusion, is that
correct?
That's
my most likely conclusion, to a reasonable degree of medical certainty. It doesn't mean it's 100% the only thing, but that's my opinion based on my experience.
All right. And how many autopsies have you done?
Approximately 5,500.
And how long have you been doing this?
20-plus years.
Okay. Dr. Reamer and Professor Reamer, correct?
Yes.
You were asked about the book, and all that discussion that the defense counsel was talking to you out of the book, that was dealing with a contact wound, correct?
Yes. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with a book, but that's the discussion is regarding a contact shotgun wound.
All right. And when your expert opinion, to a reasonable degree of medical certainty, you saw no evidence of a contact wound in this particular case with Paul, is that correct?
Correct.
Now, you were asked a lot, and let me ask you this. A lot of what was in that book, when they're talking about those contact wounds, they're exploring someone using a shotgun to commit suicide, correct?
Frequently contact wounds do indicate a suicide, but potentially people can be shot by another also at contact range.
All right. And your manner of death that you determined for Paul to a reasonable degree of medical certainty was what?
Homicide.
Homicide, which means?
Death at the hands of another.
All right. And did you see with this shot to the chest or the shot that went through the shoulder into his head any evidence whatsoever that this could potentially be a suicidal wound?
I did not believe that it was at all consistent with a suicidal wound.
To a reasonable degree of medical certainty?
Yes.
In your expert opinion?
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit more about the head wound. And you've been asked a lot of questions about the possibility that this was a contact wound from the top of the head. Is that correct?
Yes.
And your opinion, to a reasonable degree of medical certainty, is that it is not?
It was not.
Okay. Now let's talk about, just very quickly, without belaboring the point, some of the reasons. First of all, you saw no soot, correct?
Correct.
And then also, with the damage inside Paul's head, did you see any evidence that would indicate that the force...
Yeah, bleeding, Your Honor.
Did you see any evidence that would indicate to you, from the damage that was Paul suffered, that the force of the shot was going this way as opposed to that way, going down from the top of his head as opposed to going...
Yeah, I don't believe that it was going from the top of his head down. I don't think the damage to the head was consistent with that.
Okay. And the with the brain, you said that the brain came to you in a separate container. Is that correct?
Yeah, most of it.
All right.
Yes.
And did you, in examining the brain, did you see any evidence whatsoever that would have been consistent with the force of the shot, including the pellets and everything else, going into the top of the head and into the brain that way?
No, I did not see any evidence of that.
To a reasonable degree of medical certainty?
Yes.
Did you find any wadding in Paul's head cavity?
I don't think there was any wadding.
You're asked a lot about the shoulder and how... It was, in the picture you were shown, it was more, in that picture at least, it was kind of a gaping sort of wound. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. And his shoulder, was it kind of squinched up in that picture a little bit? I don't know if that's a technical term, squinch, but...
You mean the photograph?
The photograph that you were shown.
Well, I took a picture of his the shoulder area. Yes.
Okay. And just so I understand, as opposed to a direct-on wound and the sort of the size of that, and then a wound that goes along the side of the shoulder, like you identified in this case, explain to the jury again how those are going to create different shapes of wounds.
Yes.
Objection,
so,
Your Honor, not in response.
He's asking her to explain again. That would be repetitive.
I sustain the objection.
Was the wound to the shoulder, was that straight on or oblong to the side?
Yeah, it was a tangential type of shotgun wound.
With that shoulder wound, that you've identified that as the entrance wound, the initial wound?
Yes.
Would you still expect to find the pellets in that wound consistent with what you saw in Paul?
Yes.
Questions. I want to make sure I understand a couple of the answers you gave to the Attorney General. We previously established you did not see any real crime scene photos in this case.
Correct.
In many crime cases or some crime cases, do you look at crime scene photos to help you or assist you in your opinions concerning certain things on the autopsy?
No, honestly, I don't. It's my job to examine the body, and I come to my conclusions, and I don't really, look at the crime scene photos. I could potentially ask for them if I saw something very unusual, and I'll say, wow, how did that happen? Or sometimes I'll see an entrance gunshot wound that has, I'll assess it. There may be a lot of... glass around it, and I'll say, well, did this go through a window first? And I'll ask that question. I don't necessarily have to look at the photos. So there is information that I might ask, but, looking at the crime scene photos is really, not something that I do to help me come to a conclusion. Whatever's on the body, I will rely on what I see on the body, and if it fits with the crime scene photos, fine. But if not, I have my conclusions based on the body.
But you just conceded you do occasionally ask to see crime scene photos. Occasionally.
No, I don't ask to see the crime scene photos. I will ask to see, ask if something, like I just recently had a victim of multiple gunshot wounds, I thought she may have been sitting in a car. Nobody told me anything like that because there was a bunch of glass fragments, kind of on it, all the entrance wounds were to the left side and all the exit wounds were to the right. And then there were like fragments of glass and kind of car parts, you know, banging into the skin. So I was like, was she in a car? But I don't ask to see the photos. Really, it's not part of, you know, my evaluation of the cause and manner of death doing an autopsy.
But like in this case, you had conversations with investigating officers, did you not?
At their request.
Did you have a conversation with Sweat Agent Owens about the bruising on her calf?
Well, I did not actually observe that at the autopsy, so I really couldn't come to any conclusion. And it's very possible that that was dirt from a shoe that was already gone by the time it came to me. I'm not autopsying the bodies at the scene. There's, you know, there's transport, there's movement into a body bag. But it may have been asked to me, but I distinctly said I didn't see that.
But you did have a meeting with, after the autopsy, with, and your report, with, I believe it's Lieutenant Owens with SWED, the chief investigating officer, and discussed did he show you the muddy print picture?
Objection beyond the scope.
Your objection is sustained.
Okay. Well, I think that's probably all I have. Thank you so much for being here today. But an opinion is an opinion, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a break for about 15 minutes. Please do not discuss the case.
That wraps up segment number two of continuing coverage of the trial of Alec Murdaugh. There's much more to come. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Moto Casino,
America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.